Well, hello, my little creepies. Oh, yes. It's that time again. We talk about UFOs and Bigfoot, paranormal, true crime, and conspiracy stories, and all things creepy. Yes, this is The Creepy Show. You can find us online at creepy.show. And I'm your host, the Master of Creep.
Unwilling organ donors abducted for a death harvest. Unwilling organ donors trapped in a world of terror. It seems that even the poorest of the poor hold value to demons who would harvest their stolen organs for profits. So, you aren't feeling well. So, you go in for a checkup. Upon testing, you're told that your kidneys are shutting down. You will need to go on dialysis to filter your blood. Certainly not a fun activity at all. You're also told that you eventually will need a kidney transplant. Just like everyone else, you join the long list of other people who need the same thing, and without the kidney transplant, your fate is sealed. Death. Maybe you have a lot of money, actually millions of dollars. The question becomes, what would you do to save yourself? If there were a way out, how much are you willing to spend to avoid death? Would you be willing to buy an organ, even if you knew that it came from an unwilling organ donor? Well, the money is no object when it comes to buying a healthy organ. Crooked doctors and hospitals also know this fact, and some are taking advantage of this situation. Now, I'm not talking about doctors in some third world country. I'm talking about some doctors right here in the good old USA turning a profit from unwilling organ donors. According to a 2009 article from CBS News, there is a black market for organs, and many doctors and hospitals aren't asking very many questions when they receive an organ. While there's even an actual UN task force on international organ trafficking, and according to them, some doctors and hospitals don't look very hard when it comes to finding the source for organs suitable for transplant. One man from New York was arrested for plotting to sell a kidney that was obtained from Israel to sell to a patient for $160,000. This same man was recorded saying that he had brokered quite a lot of deals similar to this over the past 10 years. Where are all these organs coming from? Who would agree to give up a kidney, or a liver, or any organ for that matter? Consider that these organs are not being donated by people needing money, or rather, they are being harvested from people who have dropped off the radar, people who are classified as missing. Just in Mexico alone, according to the Wall Street Journal, more than 37,400 people are categorized as missing by the government. The vast majority are believed to be dead, victims of the country's spiraling violence that has claimed more than 250,000 lives since 2006. When you consider that even people who are dirt poor contain valuable organs worth more than $100,000, unwilling organ donors become a target for criminals who abduct people and harvest their organs for insane profits. Consider Jennifer from El Paso. She almost lost her life to an organ transplant scheme. She was young and full of curiosity. She wanted to see the world before settling down. Her home life wasn't very nurturing, so at 18, she decided to leave. She hooked up with a few friends who were in similar circumstances. The girls decided to head south to Brazil. Being just kids and not having the best judgment, they decided to hitchhike, walk, and camp their way down through Mexico. So on Halloween night, Jennifer and her three best friends, Brandy, Katrina, and Vanessa, left El Paso and started their journey. Now, Vanessa was originally from Mexico and spoke perfect Spanish. The other three girls depended on her to be able to communicate with the Mexicans. Vanessa said that she knew someone in Monterrey who would allow them to crash for a few days. They headed down south along Highway 45 to an area of sand dunes. This is a natural protected area about 30 miles south from El Paso. The girls planned to stay there for a few days and take photos. Vanessa was an avid photographer, and she decided to document their entire trip. Now, along the way, just about 10 miles south of the border, they hitched a ride from a nice-looking Mexican couple who said they were going right through Los Medianos, known as the Dunes. They pulled into the gas station along the way, and that's when the problems started. As they were getting gas, another van pulled up beside them, and several men jumped out with guns. They demanded Jennifer, Brandy, and Katrina, and Vanessa to get into the van or die. The girls were scared, and it seems that no one was close enough to help them. So the girls reluctantly got into the van, and it took off. And all of this happened in just a few seconds. Once in the van, they were handcuffed and gagged and told to sit quiet or they would be killed. The van continued south down 45, and then it turned on a dirt road off the highway going toward a mountain range. The girls were taken to a really nice-looking house, actually a mansion, out in the middle of nowhere. The house had a 10-foot wall all the way around it, and on top of the wall was a coil of razor-barbed wire. It looked like a small prison. All four girls were put in a jail cell in the basement of the house. There were no windows, and the cell was pretty small with a couple of mattresses laying on the bare floor. The girls talked among themselves, thinking that this was probably a sex traffic operation, and they reassured themselves that at some point they were going to be able to escape. After about an hour, a nurse, or someone who looked like a nurse, came in and took samples of blood from each girl. They were also weighed and given a short physical. Vanessa tried to talk to the girl in Spanish, but she put her index finger up to her lips and just made a shh sound. Days went by, and the girls were adjusting to the fact that they were in prison and still didn't understand what the intentions of their captors were. On the fourth day, the girls were handcuffed and chained together and escorted back into the van. The van drove for more than 4 hours to an undisclosed location to another very large house with a wall similar to the house they just came from. They were put into a small cell, except for Katrina, who was taken to another room and was never seen again. Now the girls were down to three, and still had no idea what was going on. They were fed well, and no one seemed to be mistreating them other than keeping them captive in a cell. The girls finally got their questions answered. This was all about criminal doctors selling organ transplants. Then things took a turn for the worse. The cell door opened, and a new person who was wearing a hospital gown was escorted into the cell with the remaining three girls. The new girl said her name was Melinda, and she was from San Diego. She said that she was abducted from a nightclub in San Diego when someone put a drug in her drink. She also said that she had been captive for about 2 months. She was very frail and explained that she was forced to have a surgery. She showed us her fresh wound, which still had stitches. We finally found out why we were abducted. According to Melinda, the group who kidnapped them intended to steal their organs for transplant patients all over the world. Melinda said that the group took one of her kidneys, and she believed that they were planning on taking other organs from her. She also said that the group will harvest organs until the host is dead. She didn't expect to ever see her family again. She admitted to the girls that if they didn't escape, they would end up dead very soon. She also warned them that if somehow they were to escape, they should not go to the police. We found out that Melissa did escape once and went to the police, who then drove her back to the captive's home. Jennifer asked Melinda, "How did you escape?" Melinda said that when they find a customer for one of your organs, they will come in and give you a pill which will knock you out. Whatever you do, don't take the pill. Pretend to take the pill and pretend to fall asleep. They will put you on a gurney and take you to a hospital to remove your organ. That is when you can make your move. Once in the hospital, wait for an opportunity to get up and leave. Do whatever you can to avoid everybody. The hospital is located in a major city, so if you can get out of the hospital, you can blend into the general population and contact your family using a payphone. Whatever you do, don't go to the police. Well, a few days later, Melissa was removed from the cell, and we never saw her again. We assumed that they took more of her organs, and she was most likely dead. A few weeks later, a nurse visited the cell and gave Jennifer a large white pill to take. Jennifer was waiting for this moment and pretended to swallow the pill, and in a few minutes later pretended to go to sleep. When the nurse left the cell, Jennifer spit out the pill and hid it under the mattress. About 10 minutes later, two men came in and put Jennifer on a gurney. They transferred her into a van and drove her to a hospital in Mexico City. Once there, she was left alone in a hallway outside of several operating rooms. Doctors and nurses rushed by her several times as though they were working on several patients. But for a few seconds at a time in the hallway, it was completely empty. Jennifer, who was still pretending to be asleep, waited for the right moment, and then she suddenly sprang from her gurney and found refuge at a small cleaning closet. The cleaning closet had a few shelves with cleaning supplies, a mop, and a bucket. She watched and waited for several hours. She could hear people outside of her closet door. They were speaking in Spanish, and Jennifer had no idea what they were saying, but she could tell they were in a panic. Jennifer stayed in the closet for several hours, and finally the lights started to dim. She could tell that it was getting dark outside, and no one seemed to be in the hallways. She made a dash to a set of doors that led to an emergency stairway, and she followed the stairs down several flights, and it emptied out at the side of the building next to a parking lot. No one seemed to even be looking for her. She remembered the advice that Melissa had given her. Don't talk to anyone. Find a payphone and call home. While walking down the streets of Mexico City, she found a map attached to a phone book at a payphone. The map was of Mexico City, and located on the map was the address of the United States ambassador to Mexico. She ripped out the map, and using the street signs on the map, she walked for more than 5 miles to the United States Embassy in Mexico City. It was located just 3 blocks from a large park. She spent the entire night at the park waiting for daylight. She avoided everyone. When the sun came up, she went to the Embassy of the United States, a 5-story building with a big American flag flying over the door. Jennifer simply walked in the front door and told her story. She was able to contact her family, and the American ambassador to Mexico arranged for her flight back home, complete with an armed guard for protection. Jennifer was the only girl of the original 4 who made it out alive. She speculated that the other girls met with an extended agonizing death as their organs were harvested one by one. Jennifer now lives in Pinedale, New Mexico. She vowed to never go to Mexico again. She escaped certain death without any scars, except for the scar on her soul, for it was her idea. She talked Brandy, Katrina, and Vanessa into going on a South American journey that turned into a death sentence. This story was exclusively produced by the Creepy Show Podcast in hopes of shedding light and making people aware of the demons living among us.
As the casket closes on another creepy episode, we bid you farewell to the shadows that danced upon your fears. Oh, and thank you for joining us on this creepy journey into the unknown, where the darkness whispers secrets and the silence echoes within your soul. Find us online for some extra creepy content at creepy.show. And if you happen to make it through the night, don't forget to share this podcast with someone you want to terrorize. Good night, my little creepies. Sleep with one eye open, for the night is long and full of horror.